As I've already mentioned, it is the Thanksgiving season, and I hope you will take some time this week to be grateful or to express your thanks for the people that God has put in your life. I also hope you'll take some time this week to be thankful to God. Tonight, I'll be speaking from Psalm 100, the Thanksgiving Psalm, and in verse 4 of that psalm, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." And every single person that's walked the face of this earth, whether they realize it or not, have reasons to be thankful to God. You say, well, you think that's true, Brother Darrell, of those that have never received Jesus Christ as their Savior? Yes, I do. I think they have a right or a reason to be thankful to God because salvation is offered to them. Now, it's their choice that they turn it down. But God offers salvation to every single person. And if there was nothing else in our lives that we could be thankful for, we could be thankful for that God loves us as sinners and offers us a way to take care of our sins. The story that Brother Chuck read a moment ago from Luke chapter 17 is one that many times we've come to at Thanksgiving. I've preached three different times from this passage of Scripture. I preached a couple times on the nine that didn't come back. The nine lepers that Jesus healed and never came back and said thank you. I want to look this morning at the one that did come back. Because I think this one leper that came back to thank Jesus for his healing, we can learn a lot from as we give our thanks to God this week. We can learn some valuable lessons of how we need to be thankful and if we're really going to be thankful, the kind of attitudes that we need to have toward God. There's six things I want to mention that this one man did. In fact, the first three, all 10 of them did. All 10 of the lepers, as you sort of set the basis for your thanksgiving, they all three did the first three things I'm going to mention. Number one, they all recognized him as God. In verse 13, it says, "And they lifted up their voices and they said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" You see, in order to have the proper basis or the proper foundation for thanksgiving, and we talked about this in our Sunday school lesson this morning, you've got to see God as God. You've got to recognize that he is God. You've got to recognize that he is the creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I'll just tell you right now, it's not part of my message, but I'll just chase this rabbit for a second. I'm against teaching creation. I mean, I heard about this week somewhere out west, there was a state that wanted to put just in the front of their science book that evolution was a theory, not a science, and everybody was having a big problem with that because they didn't even want that in a book. And we do a disservice to our children when we teach them that this world came into being and everything in this world came into being apart from a creator God. And if we're going to have the right basis for our thanksgiving, we need to know that God is God. He created the heavens and the earth, as it says in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible doesn't try to explain the existence of God. It just starts out by saying he is God. And everything we see about us, he spoke into being. I was on a walk this morning, and there was a big there was a big bunch of birds. I don't know if you call them a covey or a herd or what you call them. But a bunch of ducks. And they were in V formation, headed south. I guess they were headed south. They were going in the south direction. And I looked at those ducks. You know, it's kind of dangerous to stand up under ducks and look up. But I had a hood on my sweatshirt. But I said, there's a God in heaven that made those ducks. I looked around and saw all the trees, all the leaves are off them except for the pine trees. There's a God that made those trees. There's a God that made everything. And by the way, he does more than that. He holds it all together. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "And by him all things consist." All things exist and consist because there is a God in heaven. And he is God. And then the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father." We have a God, and He is God. And He and everything we see about us, He make. And He holds it together. And every good and perfect thing in our life, and we're going to talk probably Wednesday night, even the bad things that come into our life are good. Everything that comes into our life comes down from a perfect Father above who's God. Now these lepers, when they said, Master, they said, Jesus, Master, what they were saying to Jesus is, we recognize you as God. You are the Master. And if we're going to properly be in the spirit of thanksgiving, if we're going to properly give thanks to our God, then we've got to make sure we see Him as God. He's God. Number two, they reverenced Him. Look at verse 12. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. I know some of you might be saying, well, that was keeping the law. A leper in that time, to keep the law, had to separate himself from other people. It was the responsibility of the leper to do that. Once you were diagnosed with leprosy, you moved out of your home. You moved out of the city. You lived in a colony of lepers that were separated from everybody else. It was your responsibility to do that. If you came in contact with another person, let's say you were walking down the street and somebody approached you, you had to cross the other side of the street. You had to hold a rag over your lip and you had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so that anybody that approached you would know that you had leprosy and that they should not come towards you. And I'm sure one of the reasons that these 10 stood afar off is that, yeah, they were keeping the law. Here came Jesus. Here came another person. And in keeping the law, they stood afar off. But I think there was another reason that they stood afar off. I think it's a reason that all of us need to reverence God. When we see God as God, and then we get a picture of ourselves as a sinner, we get a picture of ourselves like we really are, Then our natural reaction is to stand off from God in reverence and say, boy, He sure is good compared to how bad I am. He sure is big compared to how little I am. He sure is powerful compared to how weak I am. He sure is smart compared to how dumb I am. Just go down the list. The Bible says, God speaking, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And we got a God that's bigger than any of us. We got a God that's greater than any of us. And if we're going to be in the proper spirit of thanksgiving, we got to get a picture of God, and we got to get a picture of ourselves, and we got to say, like David, what is man that you take thought of him? We got to say, like the prophet Isaiah, woe is me, because I've seen God, and I'm an unclean man. And these lepers, when they stood afar off, were saying to God, or saying to Jesus, we see you as God, and we see ourselves for what we really are. Poor, weak sinners who compared to God are nothing. And listen to me, folks. If we're going to get into the proper spirit of thanksgiving, that's how you got to think of God, and that's how you got to think of yourself. I get upset when I hear people refer to God as the man upstairs. I get upset when I hear people trying to make God familiar. Now, He is our best friend, and He is familiar. But I tell you what, He is God. He is God. And when we lose the picture that He is a holy, righteous, omnipotent, omnipresent God, and compared to Him, we are nothing, like the song says, I can't remember what song it's in, but a worm like I. On my walk this morning, we have some back by the door. There's little bitty worms that when it rains, they crawl out and get places where they can't get back from. And when all the water goes away, they just sort of dry up. And there's all sorts of dry little worms laying all over the place this morning. Compared to God, that's what I am. Just a dried up little worm compared to God. And if I'm going to have the proper spirit of thanksgiving, I've got to see God for who He is, and I've got to see myself for who I am. There's a third thing that all 10 of these lepers did. They responded to Jesus. Look in verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass as they went. They obeyed Jesus. He said, "Hey, go show yourself to the priest." I'm sure they had questions. When a leper was healed, first thing he had to do was go show himself to the priest. But when Jesus said, "Hey, go show yourself to the priest," they could look down and they could still see fingers missing. They could look down and still see toes missing. They could look down and still see open, running, pussy sores. They could look and see different parts of their body missing. And they might have said to themselves, "Well, why should we go see the priest? We're not healed. Well, there's no reason for us to go see it. We're not, I mean, lepers don't go see the priest unless they're healed. There's no reason for us to go see the priest." And yet, because they saw Jesus as God, and they saw themselves for what they really were, when Jesus said, "Hey, look, I want you to go show yourself to the priest," they did the only reasonable thing that a person will do when he sees God as God and see themselves for who they are. They will obey God. It's the only reasonable thing that we will do. When we get a picture of who God is, and we get a picture of how little we are compared to Him, and God makes clear to us, He says, "Hey, look, I want you to go do this," the only reasonable response is for us to obey. Huh? Hey, if you see yourself as a dried up little worm, and you see God as God, and God says, "Hey, go," you better go. And I better go. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." It's only reasonable. It makes sense. Even our faulty human logic can understand that when an almighty, powerful God tells you to do something, you ought to do it. Huh? You ought to do it. You're playing with fire when an almighty God tells you to do something and you ignore His command. You say, "Well, yeah, but God's told me some things that just don't make sense to me." Oh, they don't? So you think you've got more sense than God? Huh? And I don't mean to be mean this morning. I told Phyllis I was going to preach a happy message this morning. But it is getting a little hot. It's only reasonable when we see God as God and we see ourselves as who we are. It doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. It doesn't matter if I can explain it or not. It doesn't matter if I can understand it or not. When God tells me to do something, if I see Him as God, I just need to do it. I need to do it. That's what these 10 lepers did. They saw God as God. They saw themselves as pitiful humanity. I mean, the worst of the worst, the bottom of the rung, lepers cast out from everywhere. Couldn't even live at their home, having to live outside of the city. The only thing they had to look forward to was death to get out of the pain that they were in. And they met Jesus, and He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." They didn't question why. I don't read any questions here in this verse. I don't read any doubts. And it says, it came to pass that as they went. They went. But that verse doesn't end there. It says, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. As they were obedient to God. As they were doing something that they couldn't understand why God told them to do it. As they stepped out on faith, they were healed. God works. And again, it's not a major point of my message this morning. A lot of times God doesn't work until we take the first step of faith. God tells us to do stuff we don't understand. We can't explain it. We can't explain it to our spouse, and we can't explain it to our children. We can't even explain it to ourselves. But if we see God as God and we see ourselves as who we are and we're obedient to God and do it, then God will do things in our life that are for us unthinkable. God will do things in our life that we can't explain because they're supernatural. They come from a God who is God. So they recognized God as God. They reverenced Him. They responded to Him. And I want you to notice all 10 of them did it. I could stop right now. I think this is a pretty good sermon. But there's three more things I want to mention to you. There's three more things that this one person did that if we're really going to be thankful, we need to do too. Number four, he perceived that he was healed. Look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. When he saw that he was healed, he noticed that he was healed. Look, if we're going to be thankful, we got to notice what God does for us. I mean, if we're going to have the right spirit of thanksgiving, we've got to take notice of what a holy God does for us. We sang that song this morning, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. I think that's a good idea. We ought to count our blessings. We ought to name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done. God works in our lives many, many different ways. And so many times we don't take the time or the effort to notice it. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. We need to notice what God does for us. You know, one reason there's so much ingratitude in the world is we don't take time to notice. One reason there's so much ingratitude between husbands and wives is they don't notice what they do for each other. And I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to nod your head. I just want you to think about this. When's the last time you told your husband or told your wife, thank you? Thank you. Thank you. I have a fourth Thanksgiving message. I just don't know where I'm going to preach this about guidelines for our thanks. And my first two points were our thanks should be expressed, and our thanks should be expressed immediately. When your husband or your wife does something for you and you notice it, you take the time to notice it, that's the time to say thank you. Don't wait till the end of the month and say, hey, all this month you've done a couple things for me, I want to thank you for them. Don't do it like that. Or don't start out the month by saying, I know you're going to do some nice things for me this month, so just in case I forget, I'm going to thank you right now. Don't do it like that. Do it when it happens. This man took notice of what Jesus did for him. And one of the reasons that there's so much ingratitude in our marriages is because we don't take time to notice what husbands and wives do for each other. One of the reasons that our children are not grateful is that we don't help them take time to notice what mom and dad does for them. And by the way, if your children here and your parents are still alive, even though you're old kids, it's not too late to say thank you. It's not too late. Mom and dads need to hear thank you from their children. And one of the reasons that we don't thank God very much is because we don't take the time to notice what He does for us. I mean, we notice the big things. I mean, if you go to the hospital and you have a test and the test comes back negative, well, we thank Him for that because we prayed for that. If we come through an operation and we thank God for that, but how about the everyday kind of stuff? How about the fact that you got up this morning? How about the fact that you live in the United States of America? How about the fact that you have food in your cupboard? How about the fact that you got a place to sleep? I mean, how about the fact that you can just take another breath into your lungs? How about the fact that every now and then, even in December or November, we can see the sun? There's so many things that we take for granted. We don't take the time to thank God for. And if we're going to be thankful, we have to discipline ourselves to notice what God does for us. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he looked down, and where there were fingers missing, they were back. Because you see, when Jesus does something like this, he doesn't do it gradually. It happens all at once. I mean, there were fingers missing and they were back. There were toes missing and they were back. There were running sores on his body all over the place and they were healed. And when he noticed that, he turned back and number five, he proclaimed his gratitude. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I don't think he could help it. I try to put myself in the place of these Bible people that I read about. I try to put myself in the place of a leper. Try to put myself in a place of somebody that because of some disease that was separated from his family and separated from humanity. I mean, sores all over the body. Nothing a doctor can do. Nothing anybody could do. Pus. I mean, I could get real graphic this morning about how leprosy eats away at your body, eats away at your skin. But this man, when he saw that he was healed, I mean, I don't know if he ran his hand over his arm like that, over his legs like that. I don't know if he flexed his fingers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they're all there. Just like we do with a little baby when they come into the world, we count their fingers to make sure they're all there. This leopard who'd probably been missing some fingers, found, hey, they're all back. All my toes are back. All these pussy sores that I've had all over my body, they're healed. My skin feels just like the skin of a newborn baby. I've got to go back and I've got to thank the one that did this to me. And the Bible says in a loud voice, he glorified God. He went back to God and he said, God, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for giving me my life back. Thank you that I can move back home. Thank you that I can take my place in society. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There might have been some there. You know, the disciples sometimes, they got off on the wrong track. I don't know if they were there. They might have said, hey, bud, you need to tone it down a little bit. You're getting too excited. We're not Pentecostal, we're Baptist. And you just got to tone this excitement down a little bit. You got to be more refined in your thanks. And I'm sure this guy said, well, he must have not done right for you what he did for me. I can't help but get excited. Look at me, I'm cured, I'm healed, I can go home. I don't know what he did for you, but I can't help but shout what Jesus did for me. And by the way, every single one of us that are saved this morning ought to have that same feeling. Every one of us. I started to say something to the choir this morning before we came out of the room. We sang that song, To Rescue a Sinner Like Me. I started to say to the choir, think about it. We were all sinners. We were all rescued by that Savior. Don't just sing the song. Think about what the song says. We were a sinner rescued by a holy, righteous God and kept us out of hell. I was a sinner headed for hell. I was a leper. Had no hope. There was nothing that any man could do for me. There was nothing that any church could do for me. There was nothing that I could do for myself. I was headed for hell as a wicked sinner. But one day I met Jesus. And he told me what to do. And I did it. And I'm redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved. I don't care how you want to say it. There ought to be something that every once in a while gets a hold of us and says, I don't care about being refined. I don't care about being cultured. I'm just going to rear back and let it rip. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's some, and I tell you what, the Holy Spirit every now and then ought to be able to get a hold of us, and we ought to be able to do the same thing that this leopard did, come back to Jesus and with a loud voice proclaim the glory of God that saved us. And if we're going to be thankful, if we're going to say, well, I can't do that in front of other people, we'll get out in the woods and do it then. Get in your car and go for a long drive and just shout. But let God know you're thankful. And then number 6. He did the only thing that was left to do after he praised God. He fell prostrate at his feet. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet. You see, when we get to praising God and get to thanking God. It's sort of like a snowball rolling downhill. It sort of picks up speed. You know, you get to thinking about all the good things that God's done for you. And the good includes the bad. So you get to thinking about all the stuff that God's done for you. And you get to praising Him. And the more you praise Him, the more you think about what He's done for you. And the more you think about what He's done for you, the more you praise Him. And the more you praise Him, the more you think about what He's done for you. And pretty soon, you run out of words. Pretty soon, you run out of ways to say thank you. Pretty soon, the only thing you know to do is lie prostrate at His feet. And in that position, submitting yourself to God, what you're saying is, I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how else to express it. I'm just so grateful for everything that you've done for me. And that's what true thanksgiving is being prostrate at the feet of Jesus after having proclaimed over and over again how thankful you are. And so this morning, look at this man. If you read the last part of verse 16, it throws in a little phrase there, and he was a Samaritan, an outcast, not only because he was a leper, but because he was a half-breed, so to speak. The only one that came back, the only one that thanked Jesus. Now, I'll be honest with you this morning. You can't thank Jesus like that unless you know Him as your personal Savior. You can't. You can't. But I got some good news for you this morning. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, you can. In the next few minutes, you can meet Jesus in a way you've never met Him before. You see, you're a sinner, just like I am. The Bible says we all are. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bible says there's the penalty for that sin, for the wages of sin is death. But the Bible says that God proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He sent Jesus to die for us. He went to the cross. He took all my sin, He took all of your sin, paid the price as He hung on Calvary. And this morning, if He offers it to every single person as a gift, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're not saved this morning, you won't enjoy Thanksgiving as you should. But I can tell you how you can enjoy it. Just decide right now that you're going to take Jesus. Just decide right now. I'm a sinner. I admit that. I'll believe you, preacher, that Jesus did die for my sin. And in faith, I take that this morning. If you'll make that decision, you'll have a Thanksgiving like you've never had before. Because you'll be grateful for the greatest gift that God gave us, the gift of salvation. If you're here and you're a Christian, thank God. Just thank God. Thank Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for this time of year. Thank You when You remind us with a special holiday how we should be thankful, how we should be grateful. And I pray, Father, that we would be grateful people. I pray that we would not let hours pass where we don't notice something that You've done for us and lift our voice in praise. I pray, Father, for those that might be here that don't know Christ as their Savior. I pray they would not let this opportunity pass, that they would just decide this morning. They would just decide that they're going to receive Christ. Man, woman, boy, girl. Doesn't matter if they've been here lots of times or if this is their first time. I pray, Father, for every single person that doesn't know Christ, that they'll put aside all the excuses and all the reasons and they'll come this morning and receive Jesus. Bless the invitation. Use it as You see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.